Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be shared at the close of the service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We are told that this is a post-Christian age. What does that mean? I'm going to visit with you about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that your word does not change, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. But, O God, we know that people can change. We know that circumstances can change. We pray, O God, that the church may be zealous, even in this day that is called post-Christian. Speak to us then through your word this day. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Day by day.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning with verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to
friends in Christ, there is a term that I do not like, but it does need to be given serious consideration by the Christian community today. The term is this: post-Christian age. We live in a post-Christian age. Pray tell me, what does that mean? What happened to bring it about if we do? How does the church minister in this post-Christian age? These are serious questions that we need to wrestle with in the souls of each one who trusts Christ. What does it mean to say that we live in a post-Christian age? Well, Charles Gallup, the man who wrote The Next American Spirituality, has defined it very simply. Says Mr. Gallup, the post-Christian age is that time when the Christian faith is no longer a strong influence in our society. Now, we know that Christians have always been a minority group, but their voices have been heard, and generally they have been respected. In other words, they really made a difference. Think back on the 30s and the 40s if you're old enough. The voice of the church was heard. Not everybody was a Christian, but certainly the voice was heard. I recall going to the schools regularly, especially to the high schools, come a time like the Reformation period, and talking about what really happened during the Reformation. And we could wrestle with such questions as, how is a person saved? How did the Reformation really emphasize that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? I don't know if it's just where I live, but I have never been sent an invitation like that for many years. The voice of the church is not heard as much as it once was when it comes to public forums. Or you can go on, and I recall often being asked to come in and to sit with a panel when we discussed a person who was having real difficulty with his or her moral life. Today, I'm not asked to do that. They rather choose the psychologist. And I'm not opposed to the psychologist going, and perhaps he or she is far better prepared than I am. But sometimes I wonder if it's that we just simply do not dare to let the voice of the church be heard. Well, let's take a look at some of these questions. What happened to bring this about? And I think that we have to say, and Mr. Gallup has brought this out in his book, that there are generational differences. Much study, you know, has been done on the builders, the boomers, the busters, and the blasters. If you and I are born between 1901 to 1945, we are the builders. If you're born from 1946 to 64, you're the boomers. If you're born from 1965 to 1981, you're the busters. And from 1982 to 2003, they call them the blasters. In other words, they supposedly think differently. They have different values. They express themselves in different ways. Their attitudes are unique to their own time. Let's see if we can try to illustrate this. We'll take this person, we'll call her Sherry. She's a beautiful woman, 25 years old. That means she's a buster. She's kind, she's faithful, she works hard in the community. Everybody likes Sherry. So one day when she's with some of her friends, a person may be bold enough to ask her, "Sherry, why do you go to church?" To which she boldly replies, "I don't." "You don't go to church?" "No." "No, my husband and I do not go to church. Our children are not in Sunday school." And so the next question comes, "Well, didn't your folks go to church?" To which Sherry replies, "Sure. At least my father, who is a part of the boomer crowd, he's 52 years old now. He went to church as a kid. He was confirmed. But then after confirmation, and especially after high school and when he got away from home, he turned off the church. He turned off the Christian faith. The church and religion were never mentioned in our home. And we never, never went to church, except one time when Grandma and Grandpa came. You see, Grandma and Grandpa are 75 years old. They belong to the builders, and they go to church every Sunday. It's a part of their week. But somehow that was lost between Grandpa and my dad, and certainly lost as far as I'm concerned." Now you could say, "Well, Sherry rejected Christ." No, she never rejected Christ. She had never received him. He had never been a part of her life. She in no way could ever have been called a Christian. People like Sherry, who dropped through the cracks and went their own way, are those who make up post-Christian America today. And there are millions of them. When I talk to the Sherrys, I don't find that they're really angry at the church. They just don't know anything about it. It isn't a part of their life. It doesn't affect them one way or the other. So you see, that's one reason why we live in a post-Christian age. Here's another one. The church became indifferent to the lost. And when I refer to the lost, I mean those who are outside of Jesus Christ. There were few spiritual awakenings in the congregation. They let the Sherrys go. "Oh yeah, her father was confirmed in our church. Wonder what happened to those kids." Well, I guess they went their own way. Too bad, isn't it? Now you see, that's why I read you the account of the church in Laodicea. It was a church in a very, very wealthy community with a medical school and all the rest that went along with it. Because they had so much wealth, they felt evidently that they didn't really need Christ and the gospel. And so the word here says that they were neither hot nor cold, they were lukewarm. And God says, "I wish that you were one or the other, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." Well, there was a time when the church was very prevalent in Laodicea. Now a city in Turkey was in too. Now I imagine that it's pretty much controlled by the Muslim faith. In other words, the people who live in that city live in what is known as a post-Christian era. There was a time when the voice of Jesus Christ was heard in Laodicea. but not today, at least with any power at all. That's another reason. Third reason, you might say, is the pluralism of our day. There have been so many who have come. Those who are coming to the United States today are not necessarily just from Europe, where they're either Protestant or Catholic. No, they come from all over, and they come with their various kinds of religion. And how do you, in a society like that, maintain that, well, this is a Christian country? And yet practically all of the documents that we have, as far as the nation is concerned, have been influenced by the Christian faith. Well, pluralism has had its due here, too. People of all kinds. Another one, and certainly we have seen this rather recently, the courts ruling on matters of separation of church and state have really shocked many of us. Just take, for example, one of the last rulings on abortion, where the court simply went on to say that whatever the length of the fetus is, whatever how old that fetus is, abortion is still permitted. You see, it's not enough to say, thou shalt not kill. That would be the voice of the church. That wouldn't mean that everybody had to be a Christian or even come out of the Judeo-Christian ethic that has the Ten Commandments. No, not at all. But it would have to say that that word that we have had through the years in our country still is worth listening to. If you want to know something about the Christian faith today, you have to learn it in the church or at home or in private conversation with one of your Christian friends. You can be mighty sure that in the public arena, you will really not hear very much about the Christian faith because we live in the post-Christian age. Well, then that leads us to the big question. That is true, and we should accept reality. Then we have to ask, how do we minister in this post-Christian age? Well, one thing that we do not do is change the Word of God. There are those who would go on to say, well, what we have to do is adjust somehow or other so that the message that comes from the pulpit or wherever it comes from is palatable to all, or we're going to lose them all. And then I'm sure that God would say, well, then let them all be lost. You have to call sin, sin. That's the way it is. You have to label it. When the Word of God labels it sin, it is sin. And there's no way that that can be reinterpreted just to make it more palatable for those who are offended by such wording. So you can't change the Word. You can't change that message of Jesus Christ. You can't simply make him a good man. You've got to hurry on to say that he is the Son of God and he is the Savior of the world. That cannot be changed, that through his suffering and his death at the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins. And if we will but repent of our sins and trust him, by God's grace, receive him into our lives, then our sins are forgiven and we are restored into a personal relationship with God forever. So we must not change the Word of God and the basic teachings of the Christian faith. That will not lift us out of a post-Christian age. We might have to change how we bring this gospel message to people. The traditional worship service, with its glorious music and its majestic organs, might have to be shared with other forms of worship. Other forms that minister perhaps better to some than others. Maybe there's such a thing, and many of our churches are doing it, and I commend them for it. They're saying we're going to have the regular traditional service at such an hour, and we're going to have a contemporary service of another hour. Some of us who are oldsters may not care very much about some of these praise songs. We'd rather hear those gospel songs, the songs of the church. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Now, we may have to forego some of that if you want to go to that service. It is not a either or, it is a both and. We may have to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this post-Christian age in a different way. Thirdly, we can no longer assume that the congregation is familiar with the Bible stories. You know, at the beginning of my ministry back in the 40s, when I talked about the parable of the prodigal son, the Good Samaritan, most of the people who sat in those churches knew what I was talking about. They were people who, if you began to talk to them about the Old Testament, knew about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua, and they could really give you the chronology and what happened. That is not true anymore. Test it out on a Sunday morning, and you perhaps would have trouble finding out from a person whether Abraham was born before Paul or what really did happen. There are those differences that come our way. Another thing that we have to realize is that the Christian vocabulary is quite different. My father and mother, of course, knew nothing about computer language and the other languages of the technological age, but they knew the theological language, even though they had never gone to a seminary and not gone to a college. You could talk to them about redemption and sanctification, being born again, and all the rest that goes along with it. Today, we better be mighty careful that we think that all those to whom we are talking, either in private conversation or in preaching or teaching, really understand those terms. They don't. Remember, we live in a post-Christian age. And not all of this is as well remembered and known as it was years ago. But here's the exciting thing, and with this we close. The exciting note in the post-Christian era is that there are many who long for the faith of their parents or their grandparents, the faith of their fathers, the faith that gave them a clear understanding of what is right and what is wrong. It might be the post-Christian age, but my friend, believe me, the fields are white under harvest. But we need to know the society in which we minister with the gospel. Shocking that I'm in a post-Christian age? Yes. But facing the reality, let us go forth with the gospel. Amen. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, in this age that is so terribly confused in so many ways, grant that your church may be that voice that forever stands, that voice that points men and women to Christ, reminding them that He alone is the one that they need. Father, where we fail to do that, we ask for your most gracious forgiveness, and we pray that you will empower the church to be that witness for all of those who might have dropped through the cracks, and that we may reach them, letting them know that they have a Savior who truly loves them. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Our mission is to provide a Sunday worship service proclaiming Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and as our personal Savior. We have remained true to this mission for 64 years. We extend a special greeting to our WTIS listeners in the St. Petersburg, Florida area. If you worshiped with us today on this Florida station, please call 1-888-MY-FAITH and let us know. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. We are supported by the financial gifts of listeners and church groups. The average cost of 1/2 hour of radio time is $100. We thank each of you for your financial support and your prayers. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.